It's now time for Insurance Smart with Gable Insurance and Financial. Call now with your questions at 923-1450 or 1-888-900-1450 for Insurance Smart with Gable Insurance and Financial.
Well, I tell you what, when we talk smart, we're talking Larry Gable. Good morning, sir.
Wow. What? Can you talk to my wife, too?
Hey, it's a New Year's resolution.
Yes.
They're all be nice to Larry minutes.
Really?
She should know that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You're in for a good year.
I am. Yeah. Well, actually, I am. I came home last night. She made a lasagna that was to die for.
Perfect.
And it was great. And had the kids over. And we watched Mulan with the grandkids.
Oh, there you go. Oh, speaking of grandkids.
Speaking of grandkids. Yes. Listeners, guess what? I have just had we have our fourth grandchild. My son, Tony, and his wife, Kara, had a little baby boy on, I believe, Thursday. I don't even know. Yeah, I think it was Thursday. Wesley Dean Gable.
Congratulations Wesley.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Yes.
Especially
everybody's doing fine. He's 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 20
Ooh,
inches.
Chunky.
Cheeks like you wouldn't believe, but his middle name is Dean, and that's my middle name, so I'm pretty honored and
proud.
Well,
you should be.
I'm pretty proud.
You should be. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank
You've got a guest today.
I do.
And a good topic today, too.
Oh, we do have a great topic. So, you know, our expertise is, you know, we talk on the show mostly about Social Security, Obamacare, Medicare, health insurance. Those are but we get a lot of our clients that ask us, because we're working with people that are pre-retirement, retiring, mm-hmm. or recent retired. So we have a lot of clients that ask us about what should they do with their 401ks? Can we help them with their financial planning? And so to help us talk about these subjects this morning, I have a special guest, and I want to introduce Josh Merzberger from Merzberger Financial. And Merzberger Financial is one of our professional partners that we work with to help our clients with their insurance, with their investment and financial planning needs. So, Josh, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Larry.
Welcome.
Thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
You bet. Well, you know, you've been helping our clients for several years, you and your team. And so why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your firm and how you can be a value add and what you bring to the table.
Yeah, so my name is Josh Merzberger. I'm one of the co-owners of the firm. It was founded by my parents 27 years ago. Started out with my dad and just one part-time assistant. Today we've grown to a full-services financial planning firm. We have 18 full-time employees, 6 lead advisors, 4 CFPs, 4 CFAs on staff. We operate primarily in Wisconsin. We manage slightly over $1.1 billion for clients, and we're licensed in 48 states, hopefully soon to be in all 50. I'm actively hunting for any clients in Hawaii, so if you're listening, give me a call.
I am, too, actively searching, yes.
And you guys will probably make personal calls.
Well, that's probably part of the thing, Josh, right, because we would have to, you know, fly over and just, you know, go over their stuff, right?
Yes,
it's all about personal service.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't get too excited about that, Josh. Yeah.
So our topic today is disciplined investing, how to stay rational in an irrational world. And when I shared that with a lot of people, they're going like, wow, that's a great topic. So, Josh, can you explain how your firm responds to how they've responded to the market volatility over this past year? Because I think there's been a lot of volatility. So what does your firm do, and how do you respond, and how did you work with that with your clients?
Yeah, so, you know, when something happens like COVID where the market drops 20-30% in less than a month, like happened in March of 2020, the first thing we do is sit down and take a look at the bigger picture. You know, what is our belief? How quickly is the market going to come back? Are we in for a prolonged downturn? So when COVID hit, we sat down with our team of investment professionals and very quickly came to the conclusion that this was going to be a short-lived downturn, and that the Federal Reserve, U.S. government, was going to get their act together. They were going to come in with stimulus, with different ideas to try to get the economy going and help it out until a vaccine could get here. So for anyone who called us and talked to us and said, get me out of the market, get me out of the market, we sat down, we had hand-holding sessions with those clients and talked through them and walked through why they wanted to get out of the market and what we thought was coming. And as our firm, we hold discretion over our clients' investments, which means we can make changes as we see fit. And so what happened, it was in late March, we felt that we were likely close to the bottom. There's no way to ever call the bottom. It's impossible, but you can get close. So in late March, we actually moved our entire client base about 20% more aggressive in anticipation of the rebound that was going to come at some point. Now, we did not anticipate the strong rebound that was going to come, but it worked out very, very well for our clients. And now all of our clients are thanking us for talking them off the ledge, for actually moving them more aggressive. And many of our clients saw very, very good returns in 2020. But the biggest thing you've got to remember is when the world is crashing down, yes, it is not fun at all, whether you're us or our clients, to see your investments coming down. But we've been through this before. The market always is always comes back. So we've got to be rational, and we've got to take the emotions out of it.
Well, I think that's the key, is the emotion. I think that's the word that where people make some really silly mistakes, and they become very emotional about their portfolio. And I think that's one of the reasons why, correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, but why having a financial advisor on their team, such as your firm, helps them, because you get that hand-holding, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as advisors, we're not immune to emotional responses either to the market, and it's why our firm has four CFAs on staff. A CFA is the highest designation you can get in our field in terms of investment management. If you look at any mutual fund, Vanguard, Fidelity, American Funds, you're going to notice that that manager holds a CFA. We have four of them on staff, and they don't see clients. They're literally there to take the emotion out of investing and manage our firm's investments so that our clients can get the best returns possible based on their risk tolerance. And that helps a ton, because the advisors who are meeting with our clients day to day, we are there explaining. We have professionals behind the scenes. This is all they do. They are doing the absolute best they can for your money, and it has worked out phenomenally well for our firm and our clients.
So a CFA, can you tell the listeners what the CFA stand for?
Because yep, Chartered Financial Analyst.
Okay.
And to get it, you've got to pass three separate examinations. They can only be taken once a year. So at a minimum, it's 3 years of school. They typically say it's about 1,000 hours of study per exam level. Of the people who start the designation, only 20% actually achieve it, and then less than 8% of them achieve it in 3 years. So it is not an easy designation to get.
And you're saying you have four CFAs on your staff, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so is this common for an advisor firm to have CFAs on staff? I mean,
it's extremely rare. I mean, you might find a firm in our area that has one CFA on staff. Typically, when you're going to get to multiple CFAs, you're going to the big cities, you're going to the hedge funds. We've tried to build a niche in our area. It's not cheap for our firm to do it this way, but we feel it allows us to give our clients a better level of investments and hopefully a better level of returns.
Wow. So you're saying that you actually reposition people with your discretion when the market went down, and you saw that as a buying opportunity, correct?
We did. You know, the funny thing about the business that I'm in and our firm is in is if you go to the grocery store, you go to Target, and your favorite food is 30% off, you're going to load up on it and buy as much of it as you can. In our world, when stocks go down 30%, everybody sells. Our firm looks at that as a buying opportunity, and we're going to take money that has been safe, say in cash or in bonds, and that has held up well through the downturn, and actually use that to buy more of what has fallen in the belief it's going to come back. And then at the end of the year, if you looked at our portfolios, we were overweight stocks because of how strongly the market had come up. So prior to the end of the year, we started reducing risk and actually taking all of our clients back to their normal allocations, because we looked at it and said, hey, we had a great year. Time to take some of the winnings off the table and let's get back to our normal allocations.
So then reallocating. So it sounds like what your firm does is you're very proactive with managing your clients' money and very proactive in with having this team of CFAs that they are constantly looking at the market, looking at trends, and making or then they come to you and say, this is what we think we should be doing, and taking that emotion out of the equation, correct?
Correct. And then every major decision we make as a firm is voted on by our investment committee, which comprises our 6 lead advisors and our 4 CFAs. So it's not something that we take lightly. Well, we're just making a switch here and there. It's something that has had a lot of thought put into it, a lot of research, diligence, and then it actually goes to a committee vote before we actually enact that change for our clients.
Wow, that's excellent. So one thing when we talk to our clients, like I said, we're dealing with people that are pre-retirement, and one thing that we think is important is that everybody should do a financial plan. So can you tell the listeners why it's important that everyone should have a financial plan, and what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so, you know, if I'll back it up a little bit with an analogy. So, you know, most people, they go to their doctor once a year. They get a checkup. Their doctor has a list of stuff he or she wants to check and says, you know, how's your knee? How's your arm? By the way, last year you had this serious cold. You know, do you have any long-lasting effects from it? And so on and so forth. And most people with their finances, they don't take any kind of approach to it like that. In our world, if you hold a CFP, which is a certified financial planner, it's the designation one of the designations that I hold, as well as 3 other of our team members, that is designed for the holistic financial professional who's going to look at the whole picture and create that financial plan for you. So we use a software called eMoney. We believe it's the best, it's the most cutting-edge financial technology out there for financial plans. So if Mr. and Mrs. Klein come to me, I've never met with them before, we're going to spend a half an hour to 45 minutes together getting to know each other, see if we're a good fit for each other, and I'm going to grab a bunch of information from them. We don't charge anything for any of our meetings, our first several meetings, and I'll take all that information. We go back to our team. We develop their financial plan, and in that first meeting, this client may have told me, you know, we'd like to retire in 3 years. We want income of X. We want to take $2,000 vacations a year. I want to buy a new car in 5 years, and so on and so forth. That all goes into the financial plan. We build in their assets, their goals, their risk tolerance. And what it does is it comes out and gives us a probability of success. I'm saying how likely is it that this client's money will last until age 95 for both of them and they won't outlive it? And then if it's very successful, we see if we can make it even more successful. If it's not successful, then we start working with the plan, seeing what needs to be done to make this plan be more successful. Is it save more for retirement? Is it take less risk in investments? Is it possibly work a year or two longer? But we can then go back to the client and say, hey, you know, your plan isn't successful, but if you make these couple of changes, here's where it could be if you follow through on them. And then we treat a financial plan as a living, breathing document. So it's something that we are going to go back into with a client, typically once a year, maybe twice a year, it all depends, and make sure that they're on track to hit all their goals. And if they're not, we're going to have a conversation about how come you're not on track and what do we need to do to get back on track. So in essence, the plan almost acts like an accountability coach.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our clients accountable for their actions and to make sure that they're going to have the retirement that they're dreaming about.
Excellent. Now, we do a lot. We work with Social Security. You know, we that's one of the things that we work with. But I know that your firm, Social Security, is very important in that whole entire process, correct? How do you work that in?
Yeah, because, you know, as I'm sure you've talked about on your show, Larry, many people's approach to Social Security is, hey, I'm going to retire, turn it on, go from there. In our approach, we, no different than what Larry does, look at trying to optimize Social Security and say, you know, what is the best time if it's a married couple, for the husband to take his Social Security, for his wife to take his Social Security? Are there enough assets there that we can delay it longer, maybe all the way out until age 70 to try to truly maximize it? But, you know, for every person, as I'm sure you've shared, Larry, Social Security is a different decision based upon their particular situation. But same thing, we take a deep look at it and try to give clients the best advice we can on how they should use Social Security to maximize it for themselves.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it's probably, for a lot of people, it's their biggest financial asset. You know, when you think about kicking off $1,500 a month each for 20, 30 years, you're talking, that's, you know, you'd have to have a half a million, three quarters of a million, $1 million in the bank. And yet what I find, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I find is a lot of times people just have no idea what they should do with their Social Security. And those are the questions that people come to us and ask, is when should I take my Social Security? Now, one thing I think it's important is we work together on a lot of our clients where we're doing the Obamacare planning, okay? And, you know, we, as we've talked to the listeners, it's key, like for this year, they have to keep their income under $68,000 for if they're married, a husband and wife. And I work, I've worked with, my team has worked, I've advisors, I've worked with your advisors to kind of coordinate our efforts, because I think it's critical that everybody's on the same page. And I know I want to thank you and your team, because between the two of us, we're able to get people tax credits that normally they don't get. I know you've seen that as well, but we need to make sure that everybody's on the same page, because if they go over that threshold, they could have to end up paying back $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in tax credits. So it's very critical to work together. And I think you guys have seen that too. I know when we first talked maybe 5-6 years ago and explained how the whole Obamacare worked, it kind of opened your eyes, did it not?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, prior to the Affordable Care Act coming out, probably the biggest obstacle to people retiring early was the unknown of health care, because they had to go out and find private health care. And even today, most people aren't aware of the tax credits that they can get on the Affordable Care Act. So with Larry's team's help, as we analyze it, we have helped dozens of clients retire earlier than they were originally planning, because they were able to qualify for the Affordable Care Act credits, and we were able to structure their income in the right way so that they were able to take full advantage of those credits. And one of the other things we really try to clue people in on is any hidden risk of where income could come from that they're not expecting, particularly dividends, interest, and capital gains from non-IRA assets, and trying to structure those investments so that they produce minimal investment income and it doesn't mess up those Affordable Care Act tax credits.
Right. I had that happen to a client, and I think that's why it's really important. If the listeners are wondering why have we partnered with Josh's team, is because it's critical that we're all on the same page. Because I had that happen where I had suggested my client talk to you, and they said, no, we're fine. And I said, well, I do need to talk to your planner so that we're all on the same page. And the client said, no, we're fine. I know what we need to do, okay? Okay, we have to keep your income under, she's single, it was $49,000. I said, yeah, but you mentioned you have some investments that could generate some capital gains. I'm concerned about that. And she says, no, we're fine. So I had her sign a waiver that said, I recommended that I chat with her advisor to make sure that, you know, it covered my base. Well, guess what happened? She went over. Right. The advisor had sold a position that caused a capital gain that caused her to go over the income threshold, and it cost her $10,000. And she was really upset with me. And when she came in the office and I showed her the document and I said, Gene, I talked to you about this. I said it was very critical for us to coordinate our efforts, and you said it was not a problem. And when she left, she was upset, but she wasn't upset at me anymore. She was upset at herself for not listening to me.
And in that scenario, unfortunately, that advisor probably had no idea she was on the Affordable Care Act
didn't
even think about it.
Exactly. And so we work as a team with your team. We work with the accountants. It's critical that everybody's on the same page. And far too often, what I find is people have four different people doing five different things and nobody knows what's going on. So that's why I think it's really important that when we do the planning, and they don't have to work with your firm. We can still, and you guys do, you also do consulting as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do run into some clients who are, you know, they're managing their own investments, or it's all inside of a 401k, and they're just coming looking for the financial planning advice. So we do have relationships where we don't have to manage the assets. We're just charging a consulting fee based upon whatever the scope of the engagement is. And Yeah, and that is becoming more and more common. You know, we're not a one-size-fits-all firm. We will work with clients in whatever manner they want to work with us. And, you know, a lot of times one other question that comes up is, does your firm have account minimums? Nope, and we will never have them. My parents built this practice to where it is by helping everyone. So whether it's a client that's coming to us with $1 million or a client coming to us with $50 to open up a Roth IRA, we will help everyone and make sure that they're set up and get the best advice that they can.
Excellent. I know we get that same question because it doesn't matter if you have $1 million or 10,000, that 10,000 is just as important to that person as $1 million is.
It's probably more important.
Probably more important. Yeah. And I think I want the listeners to know, I've been in this business for 40 years. I hold some accreditations, but the sign of a true wise man is one who admits he doesn't know everything. Okay. I have Josh and his team manage my wife's in our portfolio. And there's a couple reasons. Number one is I think it's important to get a second opinion to check the checker. But probably more important is this, because I would tell my wife, give her recommendations. I think we should do this and this and this. She goes, I don't think that's a good idea. Josh, what does she say when you say the exact same thing that I've already recommended?
It's a great idea, Josh.
Yeah, it's a great idea, Josh.
Running short on time, I got a quick question, Josh. If somebody is with a different financial manager and wants and maybe isn't doing what they would like to have it done and they want to deal with you, how do you switch?
It's pretty simple. First off, before we do anything, I'm going to want to have an introductory meeting with you, sit down, get to know you, look at what you're doing, make some recommendations. If you decide that you want to make a move to our firm, it's really easy. We just prep some paperwork. You either sign it in person or through email via DocuSign. It zips off to where your investments currently are. The investments automatically move over to our firm and our custodian, Pershing LLC, and we go from there.
Easy enough.
Yep. So if the listeners are interested in setting a meeting with Josh, simply call our office, and then we'll set up a referral and set up an appointment. And so the listeners can call us at 921-7526, 921-7526. Also, we have some webinars coming up again, Jerry, on January 19th. Our webinars are on Obamacare, Medicare, and Social Security. So people that are thinking of retiring, recently retired, all those, we need to, just give us a call. 3:30 and 6 p.m. January 19th, 921-7526 or GableINS.com. Josh, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and you have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Larry, and to all the listeners out there, thanks for listening, and have a great day as well.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. Yep. Take care. Nice guy.
Excellent, yes. Josh, they built a great practice, and like I said, we work really well together.
All righty. What's up next week? God only knows.
I think it's one of the girls are coming in.
Okay.
I get a day off. They gave me a day off.
Thanks for coming in today, Larry Gable, Gable Insurance and Financial. And join us again next Saturday morning. KFIZ Fond du Lac, it's 8 o'clock.
Another march toward impeachment. I'm Pam Pusso.